everyone, welcome back to another Craft of the Draft video. And in this video, we're going to go through players who may not have made our top 60 power rankings, which that video is out on our channel. That was out last week. We've got a bit of reception back from that, some good, some bad. But, you know, we obviously got asked, why is this player not there? Where is X player? Well, this video will kind of go through players we believe that are obviously still in draft contention, but didn't make our rankings for whatever reason, or why we think they might not be as desirable as players that we had above them. So we've got about 20 players here and a few father sons and NGAs that naturally just come up in conversation. So we're going to go through them all, but we're going to start off with a couple here that were in one of our 60s, but didn't make the others. So Jonty, I'll let you kick off with the first player of your choice.
Yeah, so we'll kick off with Malachi Champion, who made your top 60, just missed out on mine. I just think he can go missing at different stages, so that's why I didn't make mine, but I can see that there's that electricity that a club could desire.
Well, I think being from WA as well, you just have that natural draw from the Eagles and Dockers.
Yep.
Two I didn't have on mine, Logan Smith and Luca Gregor. Now, I've watched a senior game of Logan Smith playing for GWS VFL. I do think he's draftable. I do think he will get picked up. From a power ranking sense, I do think there are 60 others better. I mean, you're comparing him against mids, forwards and defenders, so when you're a ruck, you naturally drop down. A terrific tat ruckman. His work rate is definitely there. Probably not as mobile as someone like an Alex Dodson, who we've seen quite a lot of in this draft. And kind of similar to a Flynn Penry in the sense they do know how to get around. He's still quite raw, but he's quite a big kid. So having that senior experience as well, he did pretty well. I think they played Port Melbourne. It was the game I watched. So was up against Felix Flockhart that day. Yep. But he's definitely got potential. And Luca Grego, you know what you're getting.
Yep.
I think, is it enough? Yeah, I mean, you can expand on that, but I'm still just 50-50.
I
still can't get off the fence. But his senior games are really good for Williamstown.
Yeah, they certainly were. And, yeah, like we talked about last week, he's got the real balance, probably doesn't have the strength to jump off the page like you talked about. It's interesting you talk, Nathan, about the fact that your ruck, Logan Smith, just dropped down a little bit. And what we're also going to talk about in the coming weeks is some of our philosophies around how we settled on this top 60. You talked about rucks dropping down a little bit, whereas I went the other way. The rucks nudged up ever so slightly for me, just looking at the fact that there are fewer rucks in this cohort. So I think they're going to be a little bit more desirable. I guess a couple of others that didn't make your top 60, I'll let you talk about why Luke Kennedy and Blake Lidler both made the back end of mine.
Well, Blake Lidler's one for me. I'm just not too set that his point of difference is really enough to take it up to the next level. I think he was quite productive in that period of the year for Oakley where they were missing a lot of their main boys. I think his impact is definitely lessened with a lot more talent around him. I don't think he's able to emphasize the impact he can have. Luke Kennedy's one falls into a similar bracket of a Cooper Lord, who made his way into Carlton's list during the mid-season draft this year, who has the defensive capabilities better than most mids in the draft, and that work ethic. He runs hard. He's one that tactically, you have him in your team, he provides a whole different dynamic, I reckon. So he's one that, you look at size as well, a bit smaller for a mid-type, especially at the senior level. And look, if he's got perfect inspiration with Cooper Lord, at his feet to look up. So I don't think it will be this November, but I still think, 6 months more time and you never know.
Yep, certainly he's got a brother that's on a VFL list as well. So he's got good lineage to look at there. Luke Urquhart made the back end of yours. For me, he just missed out. Just the poor kicking, I think, was exposed through the championships. If you're a club that's going to draft Luke Urquhart, you're doing so as an inside midfielder and an inside midfielder only, and I'm not sure if that's enough of a point of difference these days. He's very well built, though, so if he was to go to a club as a stoppage beast, I think he could fit in quite quickly. And I guess now we'll move to some players who neither of us had in our top 60, but just missing out, and certainly still draftable and still up in discussions. And you talk, Nathan, there's about 20 or a little bit more here that we're going to talk about. I think initially when we had the idea for the video, we're only going to do 10 or so. Yeah. The fact that that's expanded up to 20 speaks to the evenness of the back end of this draft. There are going to be some players that miss out that really deserve to go. But I'll start with Josh Dolan. He's probably the forgotten hard-running high half forward that I've really liked. He linked up really well for Sandy. His first month of the season was terrific. His preseason was as good as anyone's at Sandringham. Unfortunately, got injured, so we didn't see him in the last 5 or 6 weeks where he could have really concreted himself in draft discussions. But I think that role is one that's very specific, and if a club's looking for that sort of player, he's probably the best at that role in the Coates Talent League.
I'll keep the ball rolling. I'll move with Waylon Davey Motlop, who off pure talent, he'd actually be in the top 30 for this craft. He understands the forward craft, that small forward craft, yep, so well. When we're looking and being, you know, completely honest, we look at size. He's definitely not conditioned well enough for the senior level. You know, right now, if he was to get drafted, and we saw that at testing as well, his endurance really needs to be worked on. But you definitely have a player there that has that pizzazz and that ability to kill you with every touch. And what was it? I think a couple of times, 5 goals from 6 touches.
Yeah.
That type of thing. So he's a really interesting player in this draft because you know you're getting a good player, but you know you're not getting a ready-built player, and it might not be for a year, 12, 24 months. So he's a really interesting one if a club takes a gamble on him early, but he wouldn't have trouble working himself into the big league, just needs to condition himself a bit better.
Yeah, the conditioning for me means he just hasn't made this list. I really have significant question marks over whether he'll ever be able to get there. And he's not overly tall either, as good as he is. He is on the smaller side. A couple of rucks that I'll touch on. Lucas Impey, he's someone that was aggressive. You talked about Luca Grego's Williamstown form. Lucas Impey's was arguably better. He retained his position in the lineup for Williamstown's finals series and showed some really good signs there. He's aggressive, and for a ruck-thin draft, he's someone who could be looked at, as could Cooper Keogh. He's someone that's been mentioned to me a few times in the last month or so, a big old school ruck from Coburg, played 6 or 7 games this year and showed some really good signs, was a smoky chance for the mid-season draft, overlooked and stayed at Coburg. We'll see if his name gets read out in November.
I'll continue the ruck conversation with two here. We're in Flynn Penry and Ollie Dean, and Ollie Dean's season has been pretty underwhelming. I don't think he's ever, you know, got the proper impact he would have liked to have. He was featured in the Australian Academy earlier in the year, so he's had quite a good bit of experience against that senior level, but I think the problem is I don't think he showed enough, I guess, scope and you know, upside to his game as of yet. Obviously, being a ruck, they've got that safety net of development and they're still quite raw.
Yep.
I don't personally think he goes. Flynn Penry, on the other hand, I think his chance is still quite good. He's one that's still quite raw in terms of a ruck who's really mobile and good at ground level. So he's a great follow-up at the stoppages. I think he's one that you can develop quite well. Interesting where if he does go or not. And I don't know. I feel like rucks do have that little better chance of going just because of they're a luxury, I guess, if you pick up a good one. So those are two rucks I've got in that discussion.
Yeah, I just go probably the other way. I think Ollie Dean's raw, so he's a prospect you could take with a little bit of upside. You're right, he hasn't shown probably enough this season to go, but I'd be more inclined to take him. Flynn Penry was really well regarded internally at GWV late in the season for his form, but I still don't think he's quite shown enough for a bigger bodied ruck and really dominated and torn games apart to warrant going. Zach Johnson, he's a really interesting one. He's been a consistent ball winner for Northern across the last 2 seasons. He's got underrated strength. He's quite smooth in the contest. And I think his kicking efficiency is really good as well. And he's got character that will translate into an AFL environment really well as well. But I think the issue with him is similar to what you talked about with Luca Grego, in a sense, in that you don't say Zach Johnson and immediately associate any specific trait with him. And as much as he gets those 30 disposals per match, he's so reliable. He's played off halfback as well, which has been really impressive. In a midfield heavy draft, I think he's one that could end up getting overlooked, and he probably was done no favours by the fact he didn't get any midfield minutes for Vic Metro as a result of how many mids they had to go through there.
Well, look, the only thing I'll give in his favour in terms of any distinctive trait, his defensive he's defensive-minded most of the time. He's similar to Luke Kennedy in that fashion. He understands when to defend and when to attack. He's got that in his skill set, where some mids are just all out attack sometimes. But I do agree, for the most part. Next player I'll move to now is Jaden Ewan, who, again, he got a late call-up for the AFL Academy earlier in the year with a few injuries. I mean, I'll ask you the question when you respond, but I don't know if you think that kind of... It was a negative to him. I think he was exposed too quickly. It was a lot of pressure on him quite early, and I'm not sure it showed in his game. I think he did pick up his form towards the back end of the season, but it never felt like he was comfortable. I mean, in his bottom age year, I loved him on the win. His running capacity was terrific. His kicking and offensive flair that he brought. He was moved to half back this year, but I just don't ever think he was comfortable in that role and could ever find his position. He built so much size, but I don't know if that was actually of, you know, good use to him in a sense. So what's your thoughts on him? Because I do think he's just more unlikely than likely, but if I had this discussion last year, I would have said he's a lock.
Yeah, and his season has peaked and troughed like few others in this draft class. It feels like I had him in my top 50. I reckon I had him 49 or 50 from memory. I think what really helped his case was what he was able to do at Essendon VFL. Because like you said, he was exposed in the AFL Academy game and it felt like he really struggled against the big bodies. But then he got that game really late in the season for Essendon VFL, got 15 or 16 touches, a few really important pressure acts as well. And that really enhanced his case. And I think there are question marks over his kicking this year that have arisen. But I think that burst of speed and those clean skills are hard to overlook. There was a final at Port Melbourne. Was that Calder against Sandringham, maybe, that he was really strong in? He's so good in the contest, underratedly good in the contest. And I think we saw that back into the season for him. So I think that helped his case. So for me, he's more likely than unlikely, particularly that he's got the Essendon NGA side of things to fall back on. The next player I'll talk about is Jet Hayata, a player who just got injured at the wrong time of the season. Sandy, were talking about how well he was developing, and he's got so many great skills. He's competitive, which you want in a player that you're going to draft. He's really athletic and he's versatile. Probably three great traits to have. He showed he could take a mark up forward. He's got that acceleration away from the contest, and he's got that dash if he was to play on the wing as well, which probably restarts at the next level. I personally think if he played the full year and didn't get injured, he would be more likely than unlikely, but as it sits, he's probably a 50-50 at best. Might have to come back next year as a 19-year-old and would suit that pathway really well as going in the mid-season draft next year, but I think he ends up on an AFL list at some point.
Yeah, I was never too set on him. I think the injury did really hurt his chances. I would have liked to see him, you know, in those last couple of rounds for Sandy with a full stacked lineup. How you compare, what's your point of difference I do agree. I think he comes back next year for another shot and still has a lot of potential. Nash Kinn is one who, we talk about players who just didn't really establish the point of difference as a midfielder. He probably falls into that category again. A great ball winner, and he's got good stoppage craft, but I guess size as well. He's a bit smaller. He's your forward threat. I don't feel like I saw that as much with Nash Kinn as we saw with other midfielders. So I think he just falls into that category. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think he's a little bit like Luca Grego in terms of how sound he is defensively, and he's a real hunter and terrier and really courageous in the contest. But Luca Grego probably is a little bit ahead of him at this point in time, I would say, as much as he's probably a better ball winner. So yeah, a little bit one-paced, unfortunately, but I have liked some of the things I've seen from him this season, but I'd put him in the very, very back end of the draft at best. My next player that I'll talk about is Archie Caldo, a player that seems to have been talked about since the season's been concluded more than during the season. We've hardly given him any airtime on this podcast at all, but he's a really strongly built player from GWV, 189 centimeters, good in the contest, really clean, has an athletics background, and he's met with a few AFL clubs as well. So there's some interest for him very, very late, just with some of the things he was able to show through their final series. He's still probably a no, but he's someone that's just worth putting on the map as someone who AFL clubs are monitoring.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. I reckon, you know, we've always heard that thing of the deeper you go in finals, the better it is for your chances. Yeah. And he's definitely someone who will benefit from the Rebels making it all the way to the grand final. Someone that can, you know, equally go in that conversation, Bailey McKenzie from the Sandy Dragons, who, you know, filled up his pockets late in the season with a few bags. I think it was it six goals in the prelim? How many did he kick?
Five or six.
He kicked seven earlier in the year against GWS Academy as well. I think it was that Easter weekend. So he knows how to find the goals. The criticism we've kind of had, the way his marks have come in, they've seemed very... It's just lead and mark. Where else is he going to get his goals from at the senior level, and how will he match it against senior bodies? But in terms of someone who's reliable to hit the scoreboard for you, you've got that player. So you can do it at the 18s level. He would have been one that would have been nice to see it at the Zebras.
100%. That's exactly what I was going to say. I think it would have been interesting to see how it would have translated. He does find pockets of space and pop up, but they were trying to develop at Sandy his ground level game late in the season. I don't think we saw that probably quite enough. And I do like him as a player. I think he's quite a nice player, but someone who I'd take ahead of him, and I think I have said this, is actually Charlie Richardson, as much as he's fallen completely out of discussion, because he takes his marks at the highest point, and that's a skill that takes some mastering, and I'm not sure we've seen it as much from Bailey McKenzie, but yeah, clearly is a goal sneak. Interstater I'll go to now. Angus Clark, one who probably raised a few eyebrows by not making either of our top 60. His dash off half back is really impressive, and his kicking is really suited to that role as well. He can set the game up, so I feel like he is one that I would say is more likely to get drafted than not. In fact, I'd be surprised if he didn't, and then slot into that half back role at AFL level, and he's sort of a plug and play sort of player. You know what you're going to get, and he's going to give you a lot of dynamism.
I did have him. I had him at 45.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Well, and I'll give my reason why. In terms of someone who is bouncy off half back, he's athletic as well. I he's that type of player you kind of have to take in the modern game that suits it really well. I particularly enjoyed his game. I think it was whoever they played at Icon Park that day. I think it was Vic Country.
Yep.
Quite enjoyed that game from him. So yeah, I definitely think he gets taken. I mean, 45, whether he goes that high, I'm not sure. And obviously the SA clubs will have quite a good interest. So
yep.
he could definitely go that high. Pardon me, for sure. Next, I'll go to another interstate. Now, Cody Angover, a really well-paced endurance runner on the win, which we saw quite a lot in their games in Western Australia against Vic Country and Vic Metro. In particular, a nice kick and a good smooth ball mover as well. I think in terms of endurance running, another one who suits this type of game where you're kind of non-stop for the whole time. Bit smaller for a wingman, but he does understand the craft really well. So I think he's definitely in discussion. I can't remember. I'll take a quick look where I had him, but I had him high 70s. So he's definitely in discussion for sure. I think he'll be one that will be taken quite seriously on the night.
Yep. Next one is Riak Andrew. He's one who benefited from Dandenong playing those three postseason games in the finals series. You've been quite critical on certain elements of his game, Nathan, throughout the year. He's obviously shown athleticism in spades. There's never been any question mark about that. And for a large portion of the year, it looks like if a club's going to take him, they're going to take him based on athleticism purely and back that they could develop his fundamentals and his lockdown ability, but then he showed that he has got a little bit of that resilience and grittiness to him by absolutely shutting down Job Shanahan in the wild card round. I don't think anyone else has shut down Job Shanahan the way he did this season. Now you have to take into account that Job Shanahan beat him at the national championships, and Job Shanahan kicked five goals on him when Dandenong played Bendigo in the home and away season, but to do it in a final series was really impressive, and that game alone was one of those draft me games and really impressed me. I think he is 70-30 for me. I'd like to think he goes.
I don't know. I just can't get on board. He's proven not enough that he can defend those key forwards. And I know the fact that it took him three times to shut down Job Shanahan, that's
completely understandable.
That's the way I look at it. I mean, whenever the ball goes inside 50, I'm never truly confident he's going to spoil it or he's going to impact that contest. I love that dash about him. For that height he's got a good athletic run off him, so he does have that to him, which I'll give that to him. He showed that really well this season, given he's a top ager as well. How long do you give the development?
So he's an overager. So the only other thing I'll add to that is that he is probably someone who would play as a third tall at AFL level, given his size. So you're not necessarily defending one-on-one as much at that size. You're sort of that player that comes across and intercepts. Could you back him to do that? Probably a little bit more than defending. But yeah, it's an interesting discussion and be interesting to see where he lands, if anywhere, in the AFL draft.
I've got two more. I think you've got two more as well. So I'll my second last one, Ricky Mentha, who has probably just been unable to really show the flair and that X factor he had in his bottom age year. He didn't do enough in the Academy series, I don't reckon, and that was, I think, might have set him up for a negative trajectory during the season. And I think you notice that when they get moved positions. Yep. That's kind of the warning sign of a season, that a player is slowly drifting out of conversation when he moved to halfback.
Showed a lot of halfback.
Well, I don't know. I agree. I just was never... I was like, this kid has to be playing up forward. And there was a game I saw later in the season when they played the Rebels at Port Melbourne. He played halfback for three quarters. He gets moved in the forward line the fourth quarter and kicks two goals. And yep. It's like, well, are you wasting the potential there? And I understand he probably wasn't doing enough there at the earlier part of the year. He's an interesting one. I don't personally think he's done enough to get drafted. You know, you look at a highlight package of this kid and you're like, you need to see him on an AFL list. So it'll be interesting to see if he does get picked up, even rookied, if he goes around again for another year.
I think the move to halfback, from what I saw, really rounded out his game quite nicely, showed some clean signs, was able to defend at times, but I am still probably leaning towards him being less likely to get taken because it was too spasmodic, his weapons being shown. I'll move now to Cooper Bell, an athletic next generation academy prospect, or next generation with GWS Academy. Yeah. Sorry, very tall, and he uses his athleticism quite well. He's shown it at times throughout the year, and we saw in the 2K time trial he was one who tested quite well across the whole weekend, and is one that GWS might pounce on. I guess Josiah Delana is another one that they'll be weighing up, who's small but powerful.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a bit of that in the Allies National Championship series. He's got the capacity to move into the midfield as well and act well around the stoppages with his pace and his burst, especially on the outside in transition. Quite liked his game. You know, it was one that wish I'd saw a little bit more of him to have a better, you know, I guess, final decision on him. But don't the Giants usually take one?
I think they're going to take one, it sounds
And okay, well, that's a question. You're choosing between those three, Delana, Bell, and Logan Smith. Who are you choosing?
I think in that order, I'd go Smith, then Bell, then Delana. They like Delana, from what I've heard, though.
Yeah, well, Delana, I reckon he would suit that Giants play, but who's Giants ruck at the moment off the top of your head?
Kieran Briggs.
How old's he?
Yeah.
How old he is?
Late-ish 20s. 27.
Then I'd say Smith at one because, you know, you give him two or three more years and then that 3 years, usually a ruck, they're at 21, 22, they're a bit more physically developed. So I'd probably still lead with Smith. They could take both. They could honestly take both. But
a couple of South Australians, Phoenix Hargrave, I think he's more unlikely than likely. He's in a little bit of that Luke Urquhart category. Does he have enough of an outside game? He's really hard at it and he's quite clean in the contest, but maybe a little bit too one-dimensional. And I've already touched on Angus Clark, but I'll touch on Cooper Craig-Peters as well. He's a balanced midfielder from the VFL, another one to be a terrific story if he gets taken. Probably less likely than likely, but good form for Footscray. Ned Bowman was the other South Australian to touch on. Spring Heald, we saw him take a massive hanger earlier in the year playing for Norwood. That was unbelievable. Yeah. And it would be a great story because he didn't have much footy, if any, I think, last year playing bottom age. He got injured really early in the season, which pretty much wiped out most of his year. But I think he's shown some really good signs up forward.
We'll move now to the father, sons and NGA prospects who... they're in contention just naturally and clubs will have to take them into consideration. They don't have to be taken. We'll start with Noah Uze from the Oakley Chargers, who Melbourne will be quite interested. I'll ask your thoughts first I'll give my thoughts and I'll pass you. But you look at someone who can play a tagging role. He is prototype player for that, which we saw, you know, we saw in the final series. It was just his role, which... the early question was, well, what else is he showing then? If he's just tagging, well, he's not actually showing his capability. He played half back, he's played half forward, and he was hitting the scoreboard towards the back end of the year. What are your thoughts? Do Melbourne take him?
Yeah, if there's a player that's ridiculously underrated in this draft class, I think it is Noah Uzé. I've slowly grown on him throughout the year, and he's someone who is so strong at stoppage. Like you said, very defensive-minded. He's done a job on Josh Smiley. He's done a job on Levi Ashcroft, both terrifically. I think the point of difference is the courage and the ability to take an overhead contested mark for a midfielder.
Yeah.
You don't see midfielders take overhead marks and that be a strength as often at AFL level. Josh Dunkley's quite good at it. I think I've talked about that before, but there aren't too many at the level. And he's someone that can do that, and he's really tough as well. So I think he should make a list, but I think he's 50-50. That's the way I'd read it. But I the other part of him is he doesn't need a lot of the footy to really impact. 6-7 touches. There's been games he's had 6-7 touches, and I've had him on the top five best players on the field.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have the picks in front of us of what Melbourne have, but you'd think if they've got a fourth round pick, they probably will take him,
at least rookie him. At least,
yeah,
rookie
I think, yeah, with any late pick or, you know, a rookie selection, I reckon he does make it. River Stevens is the next one that North Melbourne will be having a look at. He played for the Falcons the last 2 years, and I guess my criticism of him is the point of difference as a small forward. You're looking at all those small forwards above him. He didn't really impact like any of the others throughout the year, and I don't know. Is that? Do you mirror my thoughts there? I do think you'd have to put a heap of development into him.
I just think he's not dynamic enough for me. So unfortunately, for me, he's probably just not shown enough across those two Coates League seasons. Alward Peckett probably doesn't have the hurt factor with his disposal. Again, falls into that same category of the Luke Urquhart type, who wins the footy, is really strong at stoppage, quite clean off the ruck's hands. But does he have enough inside-outside balance? I'm just not sure that I'm convinced enough of that, but did have a really strong preseason and had some really strong form for Dandenong throughout the year. A big reason why they got to the prelim finals, but I'd lean more towards no than yes.
Two players that the Power will be looking at, Rome Burgoyne, father son, and Louis Montgomery, who is part of their NGA. Rome Burgoyne, a really nice kickoff halfback, got great run. I mean, similar to his brother Jace in terms of the way they play. I think it's just the damage that Rome does probably doesn't impact as much as, you know, someone like his brother does. But he's definitely in contention. I mean, based off the way the Power drafted last year, which certainly raised eyebrows the direction they went, I'd certainly give him a chance. They do seem to go in an odd direction, especially based off last year. And then Louis Montgomery, I think, falls into a similar category as Phoenix Hargrave. Probably just don't have that point of difference as a bigger mid. He's got good size, but just doesn't have that versatility or that next level in his game.
Well, I'll ask you this then. Does Doug Kerr have the point of difference in his game as a big-bodied mid? Because I think there is argument to say he's worthwhile taking and could be a bargain. He obviously only got the 5 games this year or along those lines because he then did an ACL injury playing for St. Kevin's. But he's someone who is so dangerous around stoppage because he uses his size better than most midfielders. He's able to burst out the front of stoppage, and I think he has all the tools. He keeps his hands free in tackles as well, can go forward and take a mark. I think he's someone that, if he played a full season, would be firmly in top 50 discussions. Where do you sit on Doug Kerr?
Yeah, well, I mean, you compare him to those others. I rate his disposal and impact with ball in hand a lot higher than the others. So a full season, you know, you always question, do these players playing in a team like Oakley all year, does that actually disadvantage him? Because you're playing on the likes of Gross,
yeah,
Foss,
how much midfield time would he have got? Yeah.
So it's an interesting discussion there. I mean, being linked with Collingwood definitely helps. You've just got that foot in the door almost in that sense, not that it's guaranteed at all. I mean, Collingwood do have to invest in young talent at some point, so they might certainly take that bet. I mean, especially if the Houston trade goes
falls
through.
Over. Yeah, one more I will ask you about in the Doug Kerr conversation, Zane Cochran. I don't think we've talked about him at all, but he's another one that's in draft conversations, got the state combine invite. He's a really smart player at stoppage and showed some strong form at times throughout the year. I think it was a King's birthday game against Sandy where he was really strong on the King's birthday weekend. Where do you sit on Zane?
Height, definitely an issue, I feel like. In terms of burst and speed, he's definitely got that. I don't think he showed it enough when it came to full teams and being able to impact that deep.
Yep.
I just don't think it translates to the senior level that well, to be quite honest.
And then Luke Quain is the other one, Collingwood Next Generation Academy prospect. I think he showed a good rate of improvement throughout the year, and he's very good one-on-one. Just the question marks for me are whether he was offensive enough off halfback, whether we think of him as someone who can really run and set the game up and tear teams apart on turnover. I think there's other players who can do that a little bit better than he can, as much as he can battle quite well. He did go up forward, but I think his position at the next level would definitely be as a defender, and I'm just not quite sold on him just yet, despite his strength.
I mean, he does play similar-ish to his brother, so it's yep. It is really weird. I mean, having his brother there, how much that influences that decision, because it is it'd be awkward for the club, really, to have a player to have a player's brother there that you're like, oh mate, we could take him. But yeah, I mean, I go back to the Houston thing again. If you're going to get a player like Houston, then what use is Quainer to kind of be sitting there and just like, what are you going to do with him development wise? I think he's probably more unlikely than likely, but you know, I'm assuming if he doesn't get picked up, he'd play VFL for Collingwood. So yeah. I think the door will always be open for a player like that. It just could be a matter of when or if they need him. So that's probably my thoughts on him. Is that we've covered everything?
I think we've covered everything, and there's so many more players. Oh, there's, you know, you could probably name another dozen players that we haven't talked about that are possibly going to get their names called out on draft night. But yeah, a good mix of talent at the back end.
Well, thank you all for watching. Make sure to, like we said, check out our top 60 power rankings, which came out last week. And next week, Dylan Alexander joins the podcast with a few other extra videos that will go out in the lead into the draft. So I'm assuming if you're watching our video, you've seen his content. So we're really excited to film all of that next week. So thank you all for watching. Check out our socials for more, and we'll see you in the next video.